the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
And good morning, and welcome to this morning's Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Watch, Hope. This is our Christ the King and Thanksgiving sermon based on two readings, first from Jeremiah 33, and second from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21. But before we begin our message today, let's open with prayer. Our Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love, the quest for hope, and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ, our Savior, and give us the strength to grow in love, that the dawn of His coming may find us rejoicing in His presence and welcoming the light of His truth. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 33, and today we will read verses 14 through 16. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priest, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings and to sacrifice continually. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So today we begin the season of Advent, the period of preparation for Christmas, the season of our eternal hope, that God will come in human form to show us His glory and the promise fulfillment that leads to our salvation. Advent is more than different colored vestments and lighting candles, but a time for us to fully consider our own faith journey as we prepare for the Christ child, and just what that means for us. This is a time for personal reflection of our lives and our dedication to Christ. In these troubling times, we need to be constantly looking at our lives and to consider if we are on the right path. So today is the first Sunday in Advent, which is for our hope. Again, all the more important in these troubling times. As we study our lesson from Jeremiah and the Gospel of Luke, we will be hearing both prophecies from the Old Testament and the New Testament. They both point to the coming Messiah. From Jeremiah, the first coming, and from John, the second. That the first came true in Jesus Christ. That gives us the hope of the second as well, and maybe just a little sooner than many may imagine. But first, let's go to the prophet Jeremiah. Now, as I do a nightly Bible study and just finished up Jeremiah, when I read this a few weeks ago, I was moved as I read, thinking of the birth of Christ and then how it is chosen for me for today's reading. God is at work. The proofs are everywhere. Now, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, for in the early portions of his prophecy, he had to disclose terrible events in the life of the people of Judah. Have you ever had to bring bad news to someone? It is as painful to tell as it is to hear, and is difficult to be the bearer of bad news, which is what Jeremiah had to do over and over. But not just bad news, but horrible news of death and absolute destruction. And later in his book, the prophecies turn to the restoration of the people, a little easier to carry. But when you could see that the people did not believe, well, it's still a big burden on the prophet. So we begin today with, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will perform the good things that I have promised to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." This verse starts with the word, "Behold." As Webster's defines it, to have in sight, to see clearly, to look at, to regard with the eyes. To direct the eyes to or fix them upon an object, to look, to see. It, by this common definition, means simply to see something. When you consult biblical dictionaries, it takes a little stronger meaning as to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. God is not telling us here simply to see something, but to see with great care, and to note this for something of grave importance. I was never a hunter, but my older brother was, and quite good at it. Once when we were out together, he pointed into the distance and asked if I saw the deer. I looked. I saw nothing. He tells me again, this time with a little more animation and with a great deal of annoyance. And finally, with much direction, I could see the deer. I was merely looking, attempting to see. But he, with training and practice, was looking with great attention to the detail. And this is much what God is telling us in this passage, not to simply look, but to look with great care, because your very life and your eternal soul depends on it. And next we have that the days are coming, pointing to a future event. So far, it has all been doom and gloom. Horrible things have happened and more are called for. How can a person or people be expected to strive forward when all you get is bad news? Now God begins the part that will bring hope. The good things that were previously promised were all about to come true. So it is followed by, "In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up in David a branch of righteousness that will execute judgment and righteousness on the earth." This is the promise to raise up the Messiah. And how do we know that this is the Messiah? Well, the old prophecies always stated that the Messiah would come from the line of David, as this prophecy confirms. The one that God is speaking here of is the Messiah, of the root and lineage of David. And this is why in the genealogies of Jesus in the New Testament, both through Joseph and Mary, were of the house of David, and that Jesus was a direct descendant of David. Now, he here is called a branch of righteousness. So what does this mean? Notice that this also includes judgment. In a perfect world, there would be no need of judgment. But in a world filled with sin and evil, judgment becomes a necessity. When any culture or civilization or person ignores sin and evil, that will grow rapidly and spread to destroy any semblance of good and right. This does occur regularly in our world and needs to be called out and confronted, or Satan wins. The Messiah will be the true agent of God because all of his life and action will be righteous. Think of it like comparing apples. If I hold up one single apple and ask if it is a big apple, you may say that it is. If I hold up another apple along with it, then you can clearly see which of the apples is truly the big one. The same applies to life. If all that we see and experience is evil, how can we ever recognize what is right? We have never seen right, so how would we know it? When the Messiah comes, all he will demonstrate will be right. If we recognize him as the Messiah, maybe for the first time ever, we will see truth. The Messiah will not be occasionally right. He will actually be right in all things, word, manner, and expression. And this is a name that she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now this is just a little different than what we see in Jeremiah 23:6, where this title is clearly for God, but now notice it is the same she and will be called. This applies in this case to Jerusalem, for after the Messiah comes and restores all of God's creation, the city of Jerusalem will no longer be corrupt, but truly righteous. The Jerusalem as used here is not the physical city, but the eternal city that comes with the Messiah. There's a Southern gospel group, the Hoppers, that have a song titled Jerusalem. And the very first time they sang it in public was in the actual city of Jerusalem, just outside of the Temple Mount. It's a very moving song. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but these are the closing words of this song. Jerusalem, I want to walk your streets that are golden, and I want to run where angels have trod. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river in that city, the very city of God, the city of God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of God, it is the city of God. Now, the Hoppers do a much better job, but the Jerusalem they speak of is the one from Revelation of Jesus, the future city of God's promise. If you ever get a chance to listen to this, it is well worth the effort. I am sure that Jeremiah was not aware of what he had said when this was recorded, but Jeremiah actually writes to precede the book of Revelation, when the kingdom of God comes to earth and all is perfect. The Jew of Jeremiah's time would have seen this prophecy as for the physical restoration of the city of Jerusalem, but they were looking for what they wanted, and not for what God has planned. And we close this selection with, Thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man. Verse 17 is actually a repeat from 2 Samuel and from 1 Kings and from Psalm 89. This was a long-standing prophecy for the time of David's actual reign, and it's a promise that actually comes true in a stable in Bethlehem, with a babe in a manger, and with only shepherds to witness the miracle. So now let us turn to Luke chapter 21, and we will be reading verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations, for perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now when these things happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then Jesus spoke to them in a parable. Look at the fig tree. And of all the trees, when they are already budding, you will see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things, that they will come to pass, and then to stand before the Son of Man. So as we now turn to the Gospel of Luke, we have a description of the last day from the very mouth of Jesus. This is probably one of the most specific descriptions, but again, so much of this is symbolically written to a people long ago, but remaining relevant to us in this day. And if it pleases God, to a generation far in the future. That all of this is true, do not think it is to be considered lightly, for this is deathly serious. What this tells us is that our own salvation depends on our allegiance to Christ, that His promise of everlasting life is not dependent on what we wish to believe, but in what is clearly written to prepare us. We continue with, "And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The day of the Lord will be preceded by events of nature. Some of these are very vague, for there is no set time and event that we can use to determine when we will take this seriously. But we are to watch for these signs, but not become so overly absorbed in these signs. We have seen some strange heavenly signs, but so have other generations. By the heavenly signs above, we have nothing. We must watch for all the signs and not be too inventive. Next, we have the distress of nations. Well, this could be anything from the last 400 years or so, because we have never historically had a lasting peace. The distress mentioned must be something that has never before occurred, like a large-scale election fraud and the theft of political office. There have been mock elections in the past, but those were usually expected. What we must consider is the scale of the fraud, the scope of those from varied backgrounds willing to lie and cover the fraud, and just maybe, for a time such as this. And next is men's hearts failing. Have you ever seen a movie where one of the actors who was very strong until it seemed all was lost and then they fail completely, turning to tears and fear until someone slaps them upside the head? Well, that is mild compared to what will come on that day. What could cause such fear? When something you believe is exposed as false would be a good example. When everything you hoped for and desired appears to vanish before your very eyes. When the unbeliever who mocked God and Christ and oppressed the church suddenly see that they were wrong, that what they despised is truth, and that they are lost forever. This is a case of utter hopelessness and despair. What they said could never happen will suddenly be coming true before their very eyes. They will instinctively know it is too late and that their doom is certain. Finally, the powers of heavens will be shaken. Of note here is that this is not about heaven, but about the heavens with an S. This will be another natural sign of great disturbance. It can be the sun, moon, and stars, or it can be a severe weather event involving the atmosphere. Whatever it will be significant. That this is bad, and now the good. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws near. Well, it's time for another Southern Gospel song, this time by the Tallies, titled Look Up. The relatively short verses are spoken and not sung, and relate to the many and serious problems with the day's world. The longish refrain begins with, "Look up, look up, look up to the eastern sky. Your salvation is coming." Unfortunately, I couldn't find all the lyrics to share, for it's relatively new. But the first time I did hear this, I was in the car and driving. I was headed due east on a cloudy day. I did look up. Listening to the words of this song, I felt the truth in them and actually began to cry, which is not a good thing to do while driving. We don't know when that day or hour will be, but at that moment, I would not have been surprised if I had seen Jesus in the clouds. We live in a time of utter sin and irreverence. Good is called evil and right is called wrong. Gross injustice occurs and the world simply goes, "Oh, well." A case goes through all the proper legal processes, but when the verdict doesn't go according to what the world desires, even with overwhelming evidence, they loot, they burn, they attack, they threaten, they lie, they misinform, and they kill. I can't say that that day will occur soon, but I will say that day will occur, and I don't believe it's in the too distant future. But preacher, aren't we supposed to be talking about hope today? Why are we talking about the second coming? Well, there is no greater hope. We find it at the end of this very verse, "because your redemption draws near." We are being redeemed through the sacrifice of Christ, and in His coming again, all disaster, pain, fear, and doubt will disappear for those who believe in Him and live rightly. You may ask, how are we to behave to be right? Well, read the scriptures. Listen to the very words of Jesus. We have been told. We have been instructed. But we must live as if we truly believe, and not how we simply choose to live for our own personal comfort. When should we prepare? But the answer is given in verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. That day will come on you unexpectedly. My personal answer is, you should have already begun. An answer that may be a little more agreeable to many is that if you desire salvation, you had better begin right now. This day may not come for another 1,000 years, but it also may come tomorrow. We are to watch, to prepare, and be in expectation for this second coming, because the first one was largely ignored by the world, but the second will come in such might that the world will not be able to dismiss it at all. Now, continuing with the end of this message, "for it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape that stand before the Son of Man." To understand this sentence, you must know what a snare is. A snare is a trap to catch wild animals. It is placed where they usually travel regularly, and that they will not recognize it as a trap. When it is too late, they will have been caught and ready for the stew pot. So think of life. So many enjoyable things to see and to do that we become distracted to our end. When it is too late, you may find yourself at eternity's gate in judgment. What do you say? "Well, I was having a good time and didn't think about what I was doing and what would happen to me later." Don't think that will go over very well. This verse is clear. That is for all people, the entirety of the people of the earth. Judgment is not only for those other people, but for all. But only the few will be chosen. And Jesus then gives a clear instruction. "Watch therefore and pray always. You may be counted worthy to escape these things." The word "watch" or a variation is used over 40 times in the Bible, beginning in Deuteronomy and right through Revelation. Humanity was always told to watch, but we seldom did. In the prophecies of the exile, they were told to be watchmen, yet they allowed evil to prosper. Now Jesus himself is telling us to watch. So how do we watch? Will we see an army approach? Well, if you actually see an army, it'll probably be too late. So how are we to watch? We are to pray continually. We are to study God's holy word, and we are to live in obedience in all of life. We are to prepare as if we had a long journey and pack all we will need to carry with us. But instead of filling a pack, we need to fill our hearts with Jesus and the life he would choose for us. If we do, we will find ourselves worthy in that we will avoid all the disasters yet to come. We will find ourselves in a place of joy and peace and with our Lord Jesus. Otherwise, even without preparation, we will find ourselves in the final destination, and we are not going to like it there. So on this first Sunday in Advent, the Hope Sunday, just what are we to hope for? We are to hope that we will follow Jesus' teachings, live rightly, and when he does come, we will not be standing in fear and dread, but will be lifted up to join him in the clouds in joy. So how do we get there? We watch, we hope. As joyful as is Christmas, on this day, our joy will be immeasurable, but will last for an eternity. Amen. So let us now close with the benediction. O Emmanuel, child of promise and sign of hope, you come from a distance far beyond our reach, yet are closer to us than we are ourselves. Remain with us in our own days of expectation, that we may give birth to what is just, true, beautiful, and good. This through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit abides with us, one God now and forever. So go now in the peace of the expected fullness of the hope that can only come from Christ. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for today's For Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield. As life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains unending. Sun forbear to shine. shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever.